You guys can hear me clearly? Okay, good. So, two Thursdays ago, I was walking to my biblical theology of 1 Samuel class, and as I approached the building, I felt my phone vibrating. And I looked at my phone, and it was Brian calling. And I was thinking to myself, what would Brian want from me at this time of the week? And so I proceeded to answer the phone call, and only to hear him say that there were key leaders in the church that were not going to be around. And so would I be willing to preach this morning? And the first thought I thought was, is he crazy? He wants me to preach to his congregation. I mean, there are only two times that I remember speaking to a group of people. The first time was my freshman year at Moody, in front of a congregation, and I was preaching about David and Goliath. I spoke 10 minutes. I was so afraid. I stopped my sermon and went and sat down. And then the second time was at a youth retreat, and I was willing to speak, and each was 10 minutes. And so I'm sitting here thinking to myself, how on earth am I going to be able to speak to you guys for 30 minutes plus? But all that to say, I just want to say good morning to you all. And I am very thankful that Brian allowed me the opportunity and you guys allowed me the opportunity to stand before you and give a little bit of God's word to you and to me. And I just want you guys to know that Janelle and I are very encouraged and thankful that we are part of this family. You guys have just really encouraged us, and it's been a trip and an excitement to just grow in the faith and to commune with you guys for the last 2 years of our Moody undergraduate career. And I hope that we will continue to be here with you guys. We're not going anywhere yet. I also wanted to thank you very much. It's always a trust for a congregation to give someone else an opportunity to get up and speak before them. But with that in mind, it has been a journey just praying to the Lord and asking him what specifically would he want me to tell you guys this morning. And I figured the only way I'm going to be able to communicate God's word to you is that he has to minister to me first. It has to touch my heart. And so with much prayer, the Lord has given me a message, and this message serves to exhort, to encourage, and to serve as a reminder for all of us. I loved my years at Oklahoma, primarily because there was one man that I really admired, and you guys may know him. His name is Dr. Rasher. Now, Dr. Rasher is a godly man. I mean, you could stand 15 foot away from him and just experience the presence of God. And so with my time there, I proceeded to ask him, you know, how have you remained faithful to God for over 60 years plus? And for all of you that don't know him, Dr. Rasher is in his late 80s. And he gave me two things. He's like, Philemon, the Christian life consists of basics and balance. And then he continued to expound. He says, the Christian life is made of a consistency in reminding ourselves and living out the basic truths of God and learning to balance those truths in our lives. I'm pretty sure many of us here have the hardest time applying some of the simplest truths in our lives. And what I have for you this morning is one of the simplest truths of the Christian faith. And so this morning, I want to pose a question to you all. I want to pose a question that I have wrestled with in my life and continue to struggle in my life. This is a question that Christians of ages past have struggled with. And I'm pretty sure Christians today and you guys sitting here today have struggled with that question. And I hope that you are still wrestling with that question. And so the question I have before us today is, how do we live faithfully to God? How do we live faithfully to God? And so with the remaining time before us, I'm going to spend time in the Word, expositing God's texts and unfolding what God has to say about living faithfully to Him. And so with that in mind, just bow down with me, bow your heads as I pray and commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you so much for the gift of grace, for the gift of family, for the gift of friends. But Father, most importantly, I want to thank you so much for the word that you have given us, that we as believers have the opportunity and privilege to dive into the secrets of your love and your grace upon us. And so, Lord, I pray that as I speak, Lord, it would not be my words, but it would be the words of your Spirit. And I pray that, Lord, as I speak, that you will open our hearts to receive your message for us this morning. And so, Lord, with that in mind, may you give me strength as we go through this. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So Isaac Watson, I'm pretty sure many of you guys know Isaac Watson, right? All right. Isaac Watson once said, learning to trust is one of life's hardest tasks. Learning to trust is one of life's hardest tasks. In high school, I loved going to youth camps. I loved going to youth camps because of three reasons. First of all, it was an opportunity to meet people from different parts of the United States. Second of all, it was an opportunity for me to learn about God and just the opportunity to worship Him. But third and most importantly, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun, a lot of games. But there was one particular activity that I enjoyed. And keeping in mind, a lot of these activities that happened at these camps were supposed to portray biblical principles for us to learn, as whoever the speaker was would preach concerning those principles. And one of the activities was the trust fall. I love the trust fall, primarily because it was adrenaline-based, you know, to be falling off something so high. Either ways, as we all know, in Lake Ann, it was a 6.5-foot platform. And in front of this 6.5-foot platform, you had 10 people standing right in front of it. So you had 5 people on one side and 5 on the other. And they would face each other with their arms, their forearms, stretched out. Now, their forearms would create a bed-like structure for whoever would be falling from that platform down. So I volunteered to go up. And I walked up there, and I stood at the edge of that platform with my back towards the group of students on the ground. Now, the supervisor proceeded to ask me 2 questions. He was like, Philemon, do you believe that when you fall back, your friends will catch you? I said, yes, I'm sure they'll catch me as my heart beats, anticipating the fall. He would ask me a 2nd question. Philemon, do you believe that your friends will prevent you from hitting the ground? Now, I'm thinking to myself, why would you have to paint such a picture in my mind? The last thing I want to do is hitting the ground. I said yes, and so he proceeds and blindfolds me. Okay, now I'm super nervous now. I can't see what's going on around me, and I'm expected to fall back. Now, as I stood at that platform, I had to make a decision. The decision was not to fall back, but the decision was to trust that when I fall, they'll catch me. And so, with that in mind, this really drives home what Isaac Watson says, that trusting is one of life's most difficult tasks. In our relationships with people, at our jobs, we find that constantly we're faced with the task of trusting. And usually, the decision, the difficulty in that decision is not to carry out the task, but to trust the people as we carry out that task. And so today's message is titled, Living Faithfully Unto God by Trusting in His Faithfulness to Us. How do we live faithfully to God? We live faithfully to God by trusting in His faithfulness to God, in His faithfulness to us. When God calls His children, He calls them to trust in him. In giving his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, he didn't do that leaving us hanging on our own. Instead, in adopting us as sons and daughters through his son, Jesus Christ, Jesus has established a covenant with us, a covenant to be faithful to us forever, never leaving us nor forsaking us. However, in light of this great truth, Christ calls us to one task. That's to trust him, to trust in his cross, to trust in his work on the cross. And the question is, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? And I'm sure many of you here have lived enough to know that faithfulness can prove to be tasking for the believer. We can look at this in the story of Israel and their relationship with God. God had established a covenant with Israel, promising Israel never to leave them nor forsake them, promising them over and over again that he is a God who stands to his promise. But yet, we find Israel in continual distrust of God's faithfulness to them. And so over and over again, we see rebellion after rebellion after rebellion. We look into the New Testament and we see Paul emphasizing the importance of committing our lives to faithfulness to God. I mean, you watch his letters to the church of Corinthians. You watch his letters to the church of Ephesus. And over again, he's trying to call them to a life that is set apart, a life that is wholly committed to God. And primarily, he's calling them to trust in God's faithfulness to them. And so this morning, there's a particular book that I've picked to talk about this subject. I mean, there are several books that focus on the faithfulness of God. But more importantly, I found that Proverbs offered kind of like a practical step-by-step how to go about doing this. Now, as we may know, the book of Proverbs offers us great wisdom. And primarily, this wisdom is to show us how to live wisely and also how to live useful lives. And so we find various practical ways to live faithfully to God. Now, Bruce Waltke, who is an Old Testament expert, would say that the book of Proverbs offers us wisdom not so much to puff up our chest to say, hey, look, I'm better than you because I'm practicing all these things, but rather the book of Proverbs seeks to form in us a Christ-like character. However, our faith is not in the book of Proverbs, but it's in the God behind the book of Proverbs. And so, with that in mind, let us dive into the text. But before we do that, I would like to give just a brief historical background of this book. I find most of the time that when I study the historical background of a book, I'm able to understand the text in its context. But long, long ago, the book of Proverbs, we would find, was practiced in the land of the Israelites in the ancient Near Eastern world. Now, Proverbs were primarily given to the people by priests, by kings, and by prophets, primarily because these three individuals were at the leadership position of the people. And so, and more importantly, in order to guide and lead the people, they needed to transmit wisdom to these people. And so what the book of Proverbs is seeking to do is to guide the people in wise living and to live useful lives. Now, King Solomon had more wisdom compared to everyone else. So a majority of the book of Proverbs is penned by Solomon himself. We also find that in the concluding parts of Solomon, Hezekiah, who is a prophet, whose scribes wrote some of the words of Proverbs. And so in here, in the book of Proverbs, we're finding that it entails wise sayings. Now, Solomon's goal was primarily to transmit the Proverbs to godly parents to give to their children. because these children will grow up to be leaders of the nation. On the other hand, it was also a command from God, as we will see later in Deuteronomy, to pass the teachings of the Torah from generation to generation. In this case, for Solomon to be passing down proverbs that are primarily rooted in Torah principles, we can find that in this text, in this book of Proverbs, God himself offers us wise and useful ways to live unto him faithfully, but also unto man. And so, in light of this background, we are going to dive into the text. So open your books, your Bibles with me to Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 6. Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 6. And this is what God says in his word. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Before we look into this text, I want to draw our attention to three primary points that I'm going to be pulling out of the text. First one is, in order for us to live faithfully to God, we ought to store the word of God in our hearts. We ought to store the teachings of God in our hearts. We ought to store the commandments of God in our hearts. Secondly, we need to remain in steadfast love and faithfulness to God and people. We need to remain in steadfast love and faithfulness to God and people. And finally, trust God with all of our hearts. Trust God with all of our hearts. In this six verses, we're gonna find that these six verses are divided primarily into three groups. And these three points is what I just mentioned to you previously. Now, as we read, you're going to notice a pattern. I would like you guys to notice that pattern with me. First of all, you will find that the first part of the first two verses is an exhortation. It's exhorting the son to do a certain thing or to live a certain way. And then in the verse following that first verse, we're going to find the results of applying that exhortation to one's life. And so we're going to see that in three different parts. So what I'm going to do now is exposit God's text to us. The first verse says, my son. As I had mentioned earlier on, Proverbs in those times were given to godly parents to give to their children. And so in this phrase, the father is telling the son not to forget his teaching. The father is exhorting him to uphold the teachings that he gives to him at home. Now, what is this teaching? This teaching is basically can be referred to as Torah. The teachings at home were centered and rooted in Torah. Now, what is Torah? Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament. And so the teachings that the father would give to the son contain values that God had given to Israel in the first five books. Now, I'm going to read Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 through 2, and we're going to see how this is being fulfilled here in Proverbs. The Lord says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all these decrees and commands that I give you. And so you're finding a father here typically obeying what God had commanded. And basically, those teachings are rooted in the Torah. Father goes on to say, but keep my commands. Another word for keeping a commandment is not ignoring or rejecting the Father's commandments, but rather keeping those commandments to his heart. Now, one can decide to obey a commandment out of obligation, half-heartedly, or wholeheartedly. My parents would give me teachings or give me rules at home, and there were some of the rules that I did not like. And so, at times, if I chose to obey the rule that I did not like, I would do it out of obligation. It's because I had to. And the times that I did not feel like obeying those rules, I would disobey them half and obey them half, which is not obedience, it's disobedience. But what God, what the Father is calling the Son to do here is to keep those teachings with all of his heart, to obey those teachings with all of his heart. And the result for doing that is heeding to those that exhortation will lead to a prolonged life by many years, and it'll bring you peace and prosperity. Now, prosperity as God defines it, not so much as man defines it. Primarily, we can take peace and prosperity and put them into one. What the Father is saying here is, if you do not forget my teachings, and if you keep my commands, it leads to shalom, peace. What the shalom means: tranquility, well-being, harmony, prosperity, safety, and security. Now, we all know that when we listen to our parents' advice or teachings, we tend to do well. But the times that we disobey, we find ourselves in trouble, you know. In the same regard, the Father is telling the Son to abide by these things, which would lead to a life of peace, a life of tranquility. Now, as such a life is characteristic of the wise man. However, the life of the folly, the life of the foolish, doesn't have these qualities per se. And so, in looking at this, in looking at the Father giving these teachings and commands to the Son, the same applies to us when God gives his word to us. Why is storing the word of God so important for us? Because when we meditate on God's word, when we read God's word, it structures the way we think. It structures the way we view the world. Primarily because when we find ourselves in the Word of God, we see the world through God's lens and not so much our lens. And so the scripture is there to guide us as to how we walk through life and how we tackle life's struggles and life's obstacles. Also, the Word of God provides a quality of life that is characterized by peace. Now, peace doesn't mean that trouble, you're going to be trouble-free or obstacle-free. Those are going to come into your life. But in the manner in which we walk through those trials and obstacles would be characterized by peace, ultimately, knowing that it's not us who walks through those struggles or obstacles alone, but it's God who walks with us. That is what provides us the peace, is God himself. And also, the Word of God enables us to live holy and rightly before God and before man. Moving on to verse 3, Father says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Basically, the Father is trying to encourage the Son to never let these virtues, love and faithfulness, to leave him. But he points them to two ways to do that: to bind them around his heart, to bind them around his neck like a necklace, or to write them on the tablet of his heart. This saying alone is called Shema. Shema means hear. And we can find the word Shema in the teachings, in the Torah. And this is what Shema is. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. So the word Shema means hear. And so in a sense, Shema was basically given to Moses by the Lord. The Lord commanded Moses to not let the word of God depart from him, but rather to keep the word of God on his heart, to bind them around his hand. By so doing, one makes love and faithfulness an inward characteristic. So now let us look at the words love and faithfulness. In other translations, you will find love translated as kindness, and you will find faithfulness translated as truth. Now, what are these words and what do they mean? The word kindness in Hebrew is chesed. And what chesed refers to is loyalty and covenant love. And truth, which can be a substitute for faithfulness, chemet, which refers to a son's loving faithfulness. And so when we take love and faithfulness together, we put them together, it's love and faithfulness. Now what that means is staying loyal in a relationship or staying true to a covenant relationship. Now these virtues are not so much God's virtues, but they are the son's virtues. The father is talking to the son, keeping those virtues in his heart. Primarily, what the father is trying to say is, when you live in relationship to others, live in love and faithfulness to one another. When you live in relationship to God, live in love and faithfulness to God. And so these virtues are not to depart from the son, the inward character of the son. And so what is the result of not letting love and faithfulness leaving him? As a result, he will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and in the sight of man. I mean, I don't think any of you would find favor with one who is not willing to be faithful to you guys, would you? Not so much. Yes. But in the same regard, this is what the father is trying to tell the son. What does this mean for us? Not letting love and faithfulness depart our inward character is to acknowledge God's covenanted relationship to us. In God's faithfulness to us, he calls us to live in that same manner, to live in love and faithfulness to him. Now, one can only uphold those characteristics if one is walking close to God. So to acknowledge is to basically give attention, to bring God into our daily living. And as a result of that, we tend to live in love and faithfulness to one another. We should never let love and faithfulness forsake us. Father continues, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. This is kind of like the central verse for us today. In this verse, we're finding the father telling the son, exhorting the son to trust in the Lord with all of his heart. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? As I stood on that platform, when I made the decision to fall, I trusted that those down there would do their very best to catch me. Trusting in the Lord means obeying his commandments and fully embracing his promises to us. Trusting the Lord involves resting secure in God's loving arms. Trusting the Lord involves resting secure in God's protective care for us. Trusting in the Lord involves relying completely on his resources. I was completely reliant on those down there to catch me with their strength and with their commitment to me. I relied completely on their resources. And in this very same way, this is what the Father is calling the Son to do, to trust completely in the Lord, trusting that it is the Lord who will completely be there for him. So the one who trusts in the Lord is one who does not lean on his own understanding. You see, it follows through. To not trust in the Lord is to lean on our understanding, is to lean on our own resources. Martin Luther would say, I have held many things in my hand and have lost them all. But whatever I placed in God's hands, that I still possess. There are things that I've held on closely simply because I want them. Simply because I know that they are good for me. But that doesn't stand to be true. When God calls us to let go, he calls us to trust in him. When God calls us to let go, he calls us to trust in his faithfulness to us. So for one to acknowledge their lack of resources, one then becomes open to God's power and wisdom, which is a far better guide to life. I'm sure many of you here have sought to pursue your own purposes, and God takes us through that trial to let us go, to say, son, to say, daughter, my guidance is better for you than what you think is better for you. As a result of doing this, we will find that he or she will have a straight path. The Father tells the Son, and he will make your paths straight. If God is the one guiding you, then you can be rest assured that wherever he's leading you is good. You can be rest assured that wherever he's leading you is best for you. In trusting the Lord, he makes our paths straight. In trusting the Lord, we are both morally and pragmatically straight. Now, what this means is that we do not make difficulties for our own self. You see, unlike the wicked chooses to do his or her own thing, making life more difficult for them. They end up creating their own struggles. They end up creating their own downfalls. But the righteous man, the righteous man's way is straight morally in a God-honoring way. And his way is smooth in the sense that he faces fewer obstacles to a successful and joyful life. A life that is set on God's plane, a life that is set in God's path, finds his path straight simply because he or she is following the Lord. And so what does this mean for us today? I'm sure going through all of this sounds simple. It is simple, but it's hard to live out. And I'm sure many of us here have struggled with living faithfully to God. But there are three things that I want to say and remind us of today, including myself. Living faithfully to God means trusting in his teachings, his words, and his commands for and to us. Living faithfully to God means trusting in his teachings and his words and his commandments for and to us. What does this mean? This means that we are to be in constant meditation of God's word. We're supposed to be reading his word constantly to know what he expects of us. We are to read his word on a daily basis in order for us to get to know him better as we get to know ourselves better through his lens. So some of us, that might mean having some sort of study plan, reading on a daily basis, to just be on track. You know, what does God expect of me today? What does his word have to say to me today? Following with that means also obeying what he teaches and commands in his word. There are times we have read scripture, walk out the door and do opposite of what I had read in the text. You know, you can read the text and not do it, but that's not obeying God's word. You can't just check off your list, oh yeah, I just read God's word today, and then go ahead and disobey. No, when we read God's word, God also calls us to a life of obedience to him. We're also called to cherish his words in our hearts. You see, God gives us his word because he cares about us and desires for us to get to know him and to discover the depths of his love for us. Living faithfully to God means, secondly, trusting in his love and faithfulness to us. Trusting in his love and faithfulness to us. This means that living in loving faithfulness to God and to others. We cannot call ourselves followers of Christ if we cannot be faithful and loving in our relationships with one another. In trusting in his faithful in his love and faithfulness to us, we ought to live in that manner horizontally. But what that requires is that we live in love and faithfulness to God. Because when we walk side by side with God, we reflect the character of God. And in that manner, living that way horizontally with one another. Thirdly, what does living faithfully to God mean? Living faithfully to God means trusting in God with everything we've got. Let us not lean on our own resources. In today's society, we have a lot of technological advances that the last thing we do is to resort to prayer. You know, quickly we're looking to our resources. It's easier because it's right here. It's accessible. But that may not mean that's what God desires for us. And so the first place to go is God. It's relying on him completely, knowing and trusting that he is the one who guides us, trusting and knowing that he is the one who leads us. And so what am I trying to say today? Faithfulness is not something that we can do. Faithfulness is something that God does. It is God who remains faithful to us. It is because of his faithfulness that we are able to be faithful. Hence the reason why I call us to trust in his faithfulness. How do we live faithfully to God? We live faithfully by trusting in his faithfulness to God and to us. Because in trusting in his faithfulness to us, we in turn are able to be faithful to him. And it is in those three main points I gave you guys today, storing the word of God in our hearts, living in love and faithfulness to God and to others, and finally, to trust him with everything we have. A.W. Pink, who is a Christian author, and in his book, The Attributes of God, writes this, it's a little lengthy, but it really captures God's faithfulness to God, to us, and our need to trust in that faithfulness. So this is what he says. There are seasons in the lives of all when it is not easy. No, not even for Christians. To believe that God is faithful. Our faith is sorely tried. Our eyes are bedimmed with tears. And we can no longer trace the outworkings of his love. Our ears are distracted with noises of the world, harassed by the atheistic whisperings of Satan, and we can no longer hear the sweet accents of his still small voice. Cherished plans have been thwarted. Friends on whom we relied have failed us. A professed brother or sister in Christ has betrayed us. We are staggered. We sought to be faithful to God, and now a dark cloud hides him from us. We find it difficult, yea, impossible, for carnal reason to harmonize his frowning providence with his gracious promises. But this is what he says. God is true. His word of promise is sure. In all his relations with his people, God is faithful. He may be safely relied upon. No one ever yet really trusted him in vain. We find this precious truth expressed almost everywhere in the scriptures. For his people need to know that faithfulness is an essential part of divine character. This is the basis of our confidence in him. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is made of basics and balance. Reminding ourselves constantly and living out the basic truths of God and balancing those in our lives as well. Primarily, God has finished the work for you and I. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, on earth to be with us, primarily because he loves us dearly. And he didn't bring him down here to leave us hanging. No, he brought him down to bear your humanity and our humanity. He brought him down to bear your sin on his shoulders. And he took that all the way to the cross. And he died a painful death. You were supposed to die that painful death, but he died that painful death in your place. Now tell me, how can a God leave you hanging? There is no way. If he has gone all the way to the cross, then he has done the work for you, which means that he's not doing that to leave us hanging, but rather he has committed his life eternally for you and for me. So what does he call us to do? Brother, sister, trust in my faithfulness because I love you. Trust in my faithfulness because I love you. Take my word and abide in my teachings. Live in faithful love to one another as I live faithfully to you. Trust me with everything you have. For at the end of the journey, I will lead you into glory. That is what God calls us to do this morning. That is what God calls me to do this morning. This is a simple truth, but there are many obstacles in front of us. Are we willing to walk faithfully to God? Trust in his faithfulness to us. Trust in his faithfulness. So bow down as I pray, and we're going to come up and sing a song. Heavenly Father, you are God. You are faithful. And you have shown us that through your word this morning. Lord, you knew the plan. You knew the plan because you took the time to guide men to bring about your divine words together, that we may be guided by you. Heavenly Father, you knew that you would send your son down to show us what living in love and faithfulness looks like. Father, you knew that's why you did it all, that we may be able to trust in you. So, Lord, in that manner, as we have thanked you in this last couple of days, may we live forward, trusting in you with everything we have. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.